Hey, everybody. In this episode, we dove deeper into our conspiracy theories surrounding Elon Musk, Bored Ape Yacht Club, Twitter, 10KTF, and all of the above. It was a fun show. We also talked about the big news today regarding 10KTF and in the Azuki world as well. We talked about the difference between plays like Other Side, Cool Cats, and other NFT projects. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or on your mobile phone with the code THENIFTY. We hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Who is the real Elon Musk today? Because there are a lot of mysterious activities that have been going on Twitter that we need to dive deep into. And I hope that you all brought your tinfoil hats for today's episode. I hope that you saw the YouTube show that we did last night. It seems that May 5th, 2022, for whatever reason, is a very interesting day in the NFT world and potentially the Twitter and crypto world as well. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm P.O. I'm with my co-host Nifty Nick, Captain Kicks, Signal, and our valued speakers Benjamin, Vicky, Depeche Node, and guest speaker Chris Bennett today. Nick, what's going on?
It's going great. Thanks for asking me.
Well, I was just going to say it's May the 5th and my computer won't load. It's frozen, and I think that this seems to be I don't want to connect the dots here, but I'm pretty certain that that's the source of this. They don't want me to reveal the information that I'm about to reveal. Here we go. The computer loaded. So it looks like they're not preventing me, anymore from revealing that information. So false alarm. But May 5th, still a big day. And, you know, I'm still piecing together a lot of, tidbits and, you know, small pieces of information. It is clear that CZ is 55 years old and invested alongside Elon in Twitter. I don't know. We're still getting to the bottom of this right now. But there's a lot of puzzle pieces that are coming together. Nobody.eth keeps tweeting cryptic things. I'm increasingly convinced that he or she or whoever is not, maybe not even part of the puzzle, but is just aware that the game is happening. You know what I'm saying?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, this person, first of all, this person's also engaging with our tweets, which is pretty funny. And if you didn't watch the show yesterday, on YouTube, we dove into the wallet activity of this nobody.eth person. Captain Kicks, I'd say, had the biggest tinfoil hat and really got to the bottom of what the hell nobody.eth has been up to. And it's been fascinating. It's been really interesting to see what the story is.
This is it. Don't worry. We're going to uncover some big things here. We're piecing it together. We're going to figure out, we're going to get to the bottom of what Elon Musk is really doing with Bored Ape Yacht Club, whether or not he has acquired the entire NFT ecosystem and is going to drive it directly into Twitter via Neuralink and maybe through a boring tunnel. So we're still working this. Don't worry, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
We're trying to bring light to all of the questions you have, but there are evil actors in the shadows. They tried to take down my Twitter account overnight and ban me for speaking the truth, but I fought back. Elon restored my account, and we're back to the investigative trail.
That is actually hilarious that you got in trouble for calling yourself Elon Musk and you actually got a notification. That is super funny. So look, let's throw to Signal for the weather report. And then I guess we just, you know, dive right into, you know, this tinfoil hat theory surrounding Bored Ape Yacht Club, the NFT space, Elon Musk, 10KTF, Gaio Siri, and nobody.eth. But Signal, what's going on with the weather?
And also PSN. Sorry, Signal.
No, morning, Mulder and Scully. Thank you for the music. I'm glad that we are all having our private investigator hats on. Today, Thursday, May the 5th, what is happening? Overnight, volume is 177 million. onto the blue chips. Ape collections are holding their floors nicely, whilst Azuki, Clonex and Moonbirds, slight pullback, but still holding close to their all-time new highs. Over the past 24 hours, the highest 24-hour volume is on other deeds. We had large sweeps last night coming in at close to $3 or $4 million, all with no coders and an interesting mix of tiers, sediments, location and resources. The basic floor is down at 3.7 ETH. Doodles are back up to 25 ETH floor after the team mysteriously tweeted Friday. And OK Bears are doing more than OK. Their floor is up to 120 SOL after they had a Twitter space that left their community buzzing. And today is a big day for 10KTF and Beans. News is incoming later. 10KTF Genesis is at 1.7 and Beans are around 6. And the regulars seem to have caught the zeitgeist of the NFT space. The adoption from Xcopy, Kobe, Punk6529 keeps going. That floor is at 0.45. And Forgotten Runes Wizard Cult, they're doing very well after the writer behind Keanu Reeves franchise John Wick is commissioned for their animated series. That trailer is well worth checking out, and that floor is at 2.8 ETH. Onto the coins, crypto is ranging, and ApeCoin is at $15. And on the OpenSea stats, volume yesterday was 177 million, so we're holding steady since the day before. And it's a good period. Other projects are now having more attention. We're seeing floors recovering or pumping. So for now, the 24-hour forecast is sunny. Back to you, folks.
Wait, hold on. ApeCoin is 15.6, not 15, right?
Okay, then. It's 15.6.
I just want to clarify because I bought the local top. I bought the local top heavily. What?
We're not going to talk about Nick and his... you know, buys on.
I just think it's important. I'm just saying that it's important that we deliver the right information with that, with the exact price, just so people are not confused. Like yesterday, you know, when we ended up buying a lot of this live on show as the investigation was underway, I just thought that that's important. But we're welcome to proceed. You know, I'm not trying to throw things off here. I'm just saying, you know, it's 15.65. That's what I'm seeing right now. But it is down from the local top that I filled my bags at.
That's enough. So, you know, with regard to this investigation, it has been really interesting. So, Kix, why don't you lay out the kind of 1-minute summary? Because at this point, I feel like you probably have it down pat after how much we talked about it on YouTube and how much research that you've done. What's the 1-minute summary of what we're talking about with this tinfoil hat stuff and all that?
Let me take a big sip of my coffee. Alrighty. So basically what we know is that we know, of course, everybody knows that Elon Musk changed his profile pic to a collage of Bored Apes yesterday. Now, the significance of the collage is that it's from P.O. Can you say the name?
Sotheby's.
It's from Sotheby's. It was the big auction that they did sometime last year. So if you just see that, you say, hey, Elon Musk is just trolling around a little bit, right? Well, the day before, he was hanging out with none other than Guy Oseri, who's part of the Illuminati and is a big connector from things from 10KTF to Madonna to, you know, just pretty much everything, Ape, Bored Ape Yacht Club, World of Woman, all of that jazz. Elon Musk hanging out with him. Also hanging out with Snoop Double D-O-G up in the building, who also owns Bored Apes and is big in the NFT space. So they're all hanging out. So then maybe you think, oh, well, maybe Elon Musk was just trolling them as a joke. ISRE said, you know, buy a Bored Ape, Elon. And Elon's like, I'll just right click save, right? But you got to dive a little bit deeper. There's this crazy anonymous account on Twitter called Nobody, who also happens to be a major owner of a lot of NFTs, including Bored Apes. And what is very interesting is that Nobody, before Elon changed his profile pic, in fact, 2 days before, was making predictions, basically saying, like, deal done, or like, it's finished, handshake Elon Musk. Also was purchasing Bored Apes a couple of days prior. But the most significant thing is that Nobody bought one of the Bored Apes from the Sotheby's auction wallet. Also in the Sotheby's auction wallet, there was like 6 apes transferred 21 days ago. So there's some very interesting connections there, which leads you to believe that nobody may have some sort of inside scoop on.
Wait, how many days ago was that?
The Sotheby's, the apes were, some apes were transferred out 21 days ago to
if you multiply that times two, it's 55.
Exactly, Nick. You're onto it now. You're really seeing the light. So this nobody guy, you know, really seems to have predicted Elon Musk making this action. And then in his bio, he says 5-5 key to Bitcoin. So last night on the YouTube show, I started digging around to what the significance of 5-5 could be. It just so happens to be a number that Elon Musk really likes. Back in 2018, Elon Musk orchestrated a very big options package for himself, but it was predicated on Tesla going to, at what the time seemed like, absurdly high valuations, around $650 billion. If you want to know, if it got to $650 billion, he got a very specific number of money back. That specific number was $55 billion. If you've been keeping tabs on the Twitter acquisition, Elon Musk made a very specific bid for Twitter, $55 billion. Interestingly enough, last month, SpaceX happened to give three flights to space to three different people. It happened to be for $55 million each. Today also happens to be 5-5. On today, we have just found out that Binance is helping Twitter, or helping Elon buy Twitter, and they happen to invest $500 million. So our theory is that potentially Elon Musk, through his acquisition or pending acquisition of Twitter, may start to realize the importance of NFTs in his overall plan, which is to make Twitter like the de facto decentralized social media platform for the blockchain. So if you're trying to make that play, if that's your play to increase the value of your Twitter acquisition, then you need to start really winning over Web3. What would you do in that case? You'd probably be getting real buddy-buddy with some crypto people. Oh, look, Binance just threw $500 into the pot. You'd probably need to get buddy-buddy with some NFT people. Oh, look, you're hanging out with Guy Osiri. You change your profile pic to Bored Apes. So we'll see. Probably nothing will happen today. We'll all be a little disappointed, but it's fun to think about all of this. But I do think that there is some significance. You have to think that Elon Musk is a troll, but he is a troll with intention. And I'm starting to see the chips fall into place that the NFTs may be a significant part of his overarching Twitter strategy, which he has already seemed to indicate that he's leaning into this decentralized open source algorithm, yada, 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 that all sounds very Web3. So that is the synopsis.
Nick, can we get breaking news real quick? Just real quick. This is news as of 9:13 a.m., so 5 minutes
ago. Oh, my God. Now you're making me go back to plug this in. Hold, stand you know, by.
Never mind. No,
no, I got it right here. Just stand by. Just stand by.
anyway, listen.
We have breaking news. I was able to plug that back in. There you go, Pio. Hey, back to you.
So breaking news announced by CNBC 5 minutes ago at 9:13 a.m. Is that
55 seconds?
5 minutes ago.
And 55 seconds.
Elon Musk is expected to serve as the temporary Twitter CEO after the deal closes. So he will actually be hands-on at least for a period of time after the deal closes. So that is something to keep in mind as we kind of talk through this. We've got a lot of hands raised. Jesse, I know you love a nice conspiracy theory. What's going on?
Yeah, I just smashed my head against the wall 55 times. And I'm wondering for our great sponsor, FTX, do they have a product where I can just short everything you three guys did in the past 24 hours? Because I would love to invest in that right now.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to follow up with FTX. They are sponsoring this show. So they
if Captain kicks his Twitter ban, he almost got Twitter banned because of his, I think he's flying so close to the sun that people, the Illuminati is getting scared. So if we get rugged, if we happen to get rugged in the next 5 minutes, put everything into ApeCoin, everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you do one more breaking news?
What the heck? Oh, God.
He already got up.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm going back. We're going
to. Yeah, do you have to walk across the room to push a breaking news button?
I'm back at my desk, okay? Look, I was trying to take care of some other stuff. I don't have socks on. I want socks. But anyways, back to you, Captain Kick.
Breaking news. There's another nobody on Twitter saying he's the real nobody and the other buddy is a scammer.
what?
So we don't know what to believe anymore. But what is weird is that the new nobody joined in March. Another guy joined in February. We don't know what's going out there in the
street. Hold on.
Is this the one of one cool cat nobody?
If someone has another breaking news story, there's the song. I'm going to go get up with some socks now. Sorry, back to you.
Yeah, go put socks on. We know how hard it is for you to bend your body enough to put socks on. So we all empathize. Easy, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
It sounds like you guys are smoking some of the best weed of all time, because this theory is insane.
Thank you for that. Yeah,
I don't know what.
So are you a supporter of it? Because
that's the worst part. Like, I don't even know. I think it's hilarious. I want to back it, but then at the same time, I'm like, am I fucking insane? Like,
I just don't think that we can really go along with Kix's theory until we see nobody.eth by 555.eth. So.
It was bought for 55.5 ETH already.
Well, look at that.
But by nobody or by somebody?
I think it was somebody.
It was probably somebody. The thing about the nobody thing is that he, like, you know, he knew something because he posted the picture that Elon eventually the one hard fact is that the nobody.eth guy posted the picture that Elon changed his profile picture to 2 days before he did it and tweeted like handshake Elon Musk, you know, or whatever. And it looks like he's continuing to post. People in our Discord are posting more things by nobody.eth. You know, Node is a sensible person. I'd be very curious to hear what Node thinks of all of this nonsense.
Well, I am
shocked.
Wait,
why is this nonsense? Real quick, Node. I just want to be clear. This is hard investigative work. And I just want people to realize that we've been really working on piecing together the puzzle for literally at least minutes, if not hours, trying to hunt down the answers to these questions. So sorry, back to you, Ned.
Well, I'm shocked that you guys have not mentioned anything about Gary Vee, whose favorite number is 5 as well. So I think he might have something to play in here. 5, he loves the number 5, 555, 55555, as many 5s as you can get. So he might be an angle there. And then another piece of potentially breaking news, I just read it on Twitter, was that Ben Horowitz is also investing $400 million into Twitter alongside Elon. So that's also exciting.
Well, and if you actually put the proper multiplier, divide and multiply by 6, that ends up at $555 million. Gary Vee's hosting VCon on May the 55th. So I'm really excited about the way that this is all going.
And you said Steve Z is 55 years old, right?
Holy shit.
Oh my God, this is getting crazy. All right, but here is actually some interesting evidence is that nobody.eth about 20 minutes ago put out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 offers on other side land. Seven offers, 6 out of the 7 offers are at 142.69 ETH. So $418,000 offers for other side land. And one of them is 213.69 ETH, 626K offer on an other deed land from other side. So if there's one takeaway I have, is that I gotta think that other side land is.
What are the numbers that he's bidding on? Do any of them have 55 in it?
This person is rich. You know, that's my analysis based on what you just told me is like, wow, like this person clearly has money. And that required some deep analysis to figure that out.
Yeah, the person's got hella money. This is like pretty crazy for sure. But yeah, I mean, look, other side land, the biggest takeaway for me is other side land clearly is being valued by whales. Oh shit, we got Schwaz on stage. I invited Schwaz. I didn't know he was gonna come. Schwaz has a tinfoil hat. What's going on, man? What do you make of all this shit?
Okay, so I'm just catching up. Did you guys talk about how the Gold Ape is on auction right now?
No. What's the story there?
So the main ape in the middle of the Elon Musk profile picture is up for auction. They put it for sale last night.
And is that through Sotheby's or is that a private holder?
No, OpenSea.
So straight up, it's on auction on OpenSea right now.
It's on auction on OpenSea. Last time I checked, it was at like 150.
What do you make of that? What do you think about that?
I don't know. It could be a bluff. It could, like, you know, it didn't hit the reserve, obviously. I don't know. And the other thing was Ben Horowitz of Andreessen Horowitz. Did you talk about this?
We just talked about it.
Okay. So that's interesting because I went down this crazy rabbit hole yesterday with the original minter of like all those Sotheby apes was this guy Gabouche, who is like involved in Axie and has this Yield Guild company, which was invested in.
Gabby DeZone.
Yes, that's correct. Was invested in by Andreessen Horowitz. I guess so was everyone and their mother. But so my working theory right now, tinfoil hat, is that Andreessen Horowitz bought the apes at Sotheby's. Okay. And, you know, they have this arsenal of apes, and now they're investing in Twitter with Elon Musk. And, you know, the apes are – there's some apes – moving in this deal.
Well, we really appreciate that analysis. The fact okay. that someone bought some apes and is now selling them. Unfortunately, I don't have the breaking news button right now. But my God, that sounds like a story for the ages.
I mean, that's something. If we think that wallet is Elon Musk that just got the six apes and that ape is up for auction, I don't know.
Yeah, I really feel like Elon Musk would be more diamond-handed than dingling. So to be selling each individual ape, I feel like he wouldn't put the time in to do that.
Right. Yeah,
that's, it made me skeptical that it was Elon. That's why I reported that.
And maybe they're not even for sale. Maybe like it's an illusion. Maybe the reserve
price is 5,555 ETH, so it'll never get hit.
Who there knows? But that's thank you, Schwaz, for that hard-hitting evidence. In all seriousness, I know you've been researching this, and it is kind of wild. And, yeah, I mean, these offers on this land is bonkers. So, again, the one thing that is a hard fact at this point is that people are valuing the absolute shit out of other side land, or at least the high-end other side land. And a lot of these monster sales actually don't even have quotas on them. So you got to think that some of these whales know something that we don't about what's valuable in other side land. For them to be buying other, like there were six or seven or eight maybe sales. Signal had it in the weather report at 100 ETH yesterday, and none of them had quotas. So that's pretty wild. Vicky, you have your hand raised. Do you have a tinfoil hat on, or are you here to take our tinfoil hats off?
Oh, no, fucking tinfoil hats on all the way, and I come with facts. I've actually written it out so that I'm clear on my facts, so that if nothing else in this 90 minutes, the takeaway is nobody is somebody. Somebody could be nobody. Nobody followed me yesterday, and it's my fucking birthday today, 5th of the 5th. So thank you, nobody. And I also invited nobody to the spaces today, so I'm sure he's very much enjoying it on his alt account.
Well, happy birthday,
thank
Vicky.
You.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Vicky.
Very cool. That was the big news in the NFT space, is that it's Vicky's birthday. That was the big thing. 5-5. There you go. Hey, nobody, you're in the crowd right now, I'm assuming. You must be somebody. You must be somebody throwing these offers around. That's no joke, nobody. And we don't know how, but you know something that's going on here. So congratulations for your insider trading. I hope you enjoy it. I mean, look, does anyone else have anything to comment on this whole tinfoil hat thing? It's pretty bonkers. Someone's tweeting at me over and over again that there's over 50 offers coming from the nobody.eth account on other side land right now, all over 100 ETH. That is definitely pretty wild. I'd like to know how much liquid ETH is in the account or in the wallet, I should say. That would be something that I'd like to know. Spencer, you seem pretty sensible. And then I'll throw to Schwaz one more time on this. Spencer, do you have something to add here about the tinfoil hat theory?
Well, I love me a good tinfoil hat theory. Like, don't get me wrong. But I think what's more important here is stepping back, like, why are people so excited about this? Is I've always felt like there's a couple of triggers that if they happen, send NFTs like to the moon, like more to the moon than they're already at. And one of them is a like potential Elon Musk involvement. We've just seen that in crypto and it feels pretty on brand. And so the idea that that might be happening, I think, is really easy to get lost in because it's so obviously like one of the really strong bull cases for NFTs. Another one too, and there's just like a couple that I've always thought would be like a huge bringing of people into the space is like if Pokemon ever puts their IP on chain or Magic the Gathering. Like, there's a couple of these. Pokemon, I think, would be way bigger, but like, imagine the onboarding into NFTs if Pokemon joins. Imagine the onboarding into NFTs if Elon switches to being a bull for a couple of days. Like, there are a couple of these triggers that just spark this renaissance. And, you know, we were talking yesterday about the market feeling kind of shaky, and especially around the Fed meeting. But as predicted, the Fed rate hikes were already priced in, and public equities kind of recovered yesterday. So I think that we're poised in the market, whether it's exactly the tinfoil hat conspiracy we're talking about right now or something else. It does feel like we're one piece of good news or like breaking news away from a really strong bull run, at least in the short run. And I think that whether it is literally Elon joining the apes or something else, there's definitely something brewing. I also had a question for you guys, just a point of clarification. When we're talking about nobody in this context, it's a different nobody than the nobody who bought a bunch of one-of-one cool cats, right?
Well, it could be the same nobody, potentially. Whoever this nobody is has a crap ton of money. What's happening right now is there's a little Twitter spat between the nobody that we were talking about, and there's another account called Nobody's Vault who's saying like, this guy's fake. But it's kind of weird because the Nobody's Vault has like 500 followers and joined on March 2022 and is like worth like $500 million. It's like, I don't know who to believe. But if you want to see something funny, Ben Jammin Googled what does 5-5 mean? And you need to look at what he posted on Twitter. Over to you, Pia.
Yeah, that was really
news.
Go ahead, Vicky.
I just tweeted and nobody liked my tweet.
now we've got nobody.eth claiming that he's the real one, and that's the nobody vault that Captain Kicks was talking about. Who the hell knows at this point, but apparently nobody has 253 ETH in his wallet, so he's ready to make some buys. Schwaz, you have your hand raised. Do you have something more to add on this?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the nobody.eth on OpenSea, the Twitter is connected to OpenSea, and it's the Nobody Vault one. It's not the other one.
Okay, so in other words, the real nobody is the guy that only has 400 followers. All right, I don't know what's going on. This is too much. I can't do this. I mean, Chris is on stage. Chris is a Bored Ape holder, and you know, someone who's done well in the NFT space. Do you want to talk about something besides this, or do you have something to add to the mystery?
I do. I'm looking at his wallet on DBank right now, and he's got 253 WETH, 33,000 ape coin, and then only 10 ETH. So he's definitely making offers, going after the offers.
100 wrapped ETH offers. Crazy.
Yeah, I would have thought there'd actually be more in here, but I'm gonna have to go through with DBank earlier and see if there's any other wallets connected that maybe he's funneling from or things like that. But it's a good wallet. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, all year Elon has been kind of trolling the NFT space and even Web3, the terminology Web3 too. So it's pretty cool to see, like, and that could have just been trolling, or he could have thought that and then changed his mind. It's cool to see Ben Horowitz involved, because I think that, and obviously Guy is very bullish for NFTs as well. I took his tweet when he posted the picture of the Sotheby's auction as just a troll of like a right click save, you know, by saying seems pretty fungible. But this could be, I don't know. It's pretty exciting. I'll say this either way. the fact that a dude by himself could buy one of the largest media or the largest media corporation in the world, and we're like here for it and we're part of it, like, because the NFT Twitter is such a new hot. I mean, I literally quit Twitter, and I had been on since the year it opened. I quit Twitter in 2020 because I just couldn't handle it. And I came back because of NFT Twitter, because of how positive and how awesome and fun it is. So it's cool to be a part of it. And it's cool that, I mean, the fact that Elon could now be a part of us, our little group, is insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did want to say is, like, at the end of the day, we know that Elon Musk likes, like, fun. And we know that he has his finger on the pulse of, you know, technology. Sometimes he can actually be slow to fully come around to things. Like, it seemed like he pushed back on Bitcoin for a while. And then all of a sudden he bought over $1 billion of Bitcoin and has held it on the Tesla balance sheet and has not sold. Right. Even though, like, he tweets troll stuff and he kind of influenced the price. Right. We also know that he loves, like, you know, manipulating markets when he can. He got in trouble and got investigated by the SEC when people said that he was manipulating the price of Tesla stock. Then he moved on to manipulating the price of Dogecoin because it's an unregulated market and not a security, and he can't get in trouble for that. So it would be very natural for him to look at NFTs as a market that he could influence in a big way. And it's just more fun because there's, like, monkey pictures that go with the assets that you're manipulating. I think it's only natural, especially now that he's bought Twitter. And that the fact that crypto Twitter, Web3 Twitter, NFT Twitter is, you know, such a big part of, you know, what makes Twitter the place to be. Like, I was saying to Nick and Kix yesterday, like, besides NFT and crypto Twitter, what are the biggest parts of Twitter? Like, journalism, you know, like news and journalism and sports coverage and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like the monetization is going to come from the crypto community. Jesse, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
No, I was going to pivot to PXN at some point. Yeah, I mean, the whole Elon thing is, yeah, a little bit wacky. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say.
Excuse me. What, this is hard-hitting journalism.
No, I just mean it's hard to figure out what's in Elon's brain. I mean, like, he loves a good 420 or 69 joke, so that's a good, I guess, sign for him joining crypto. But he's been pretty, standoffish and kind of mocks it also, so it's impossible to know what's going on inside his brain. But on the PXN thing, this was,
let's talk to PXN, Jesse. What do you think about that? Really interesting,
because I didn't quite understand that. The maybe explain your tweet about the investor to
trader ratio.
Do that and then I'll go next.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so for those that don't know, like, PXN was a super hyped up drop yesterday. The website is PHANTOM.PH, phantom.sh, sort of kind of like Azuki style art. It actually looks like pretty cool and pretty high quality. Apparently, the person on the team is the same person behind SVS, the Sneaky Vampire Syndicate. And it was a super, super hyped up launch. I had like crypto traders that don't do much NFTs telling me, like, oh my God, I really want to get in on this. So they did an interesting drop model. It was a 2 ETH Dutch auction. Everybody knew it was going to instantly sell out at 2 ETH in order to, like, try to stop. They did a lot of anti-botting measures on the smart contract, which was well done. And then in order to keep people from, like, I don't know, doing stuff on the website, they actually had, like, a queue system, not really like Topshop, but, like, sort of similar. But basically, when you went to their website to mint, you, like, sat in a queue and the page kept refreshing. And then, like, some people got to, like, the mint page to be able to mint, but it was, like, IP based. So you couldn't just, like, send the mint address to someone else. So that part was actually pretty well done. What wasn't so well done is, as soon as you got to the mint page, you could switch out wallets and just, like, keep minting over and over again. But I think they did overall a great job, but it pretty much, like, instantly sold out at very quickly sold out at 2 ETH. Floor went, like, ripped up to 3 ETH. I think last night it got above 4 ETH, maybe even tapped 5. And now it's all the way back down to 2 ETH, low twos. And today there is a whitelist mint for the remaining 6,000 at 0.35. My point is that there's more traders than investors in this space is the fact that it went, like, it sold out immediately at 2, FOMO's up to 3, FOMO's up to 4+, and now it's all the way back down to 2 today. meaning that everybody's just trying to flip things to make money. There's like not a ton of people really like holding on to projects as investors, like wanting them for the long haul. Now, I understand why people flipped them. If you bought one of the 4,000 at 2 ETH and you know 6,000 is hitting the market at 0.35, you probably do want to flip it, right? Just in case the floor kind of goes down a little bit and maybe you can buy back in. But yeah, I'm seeing more and more. You saw it with other deeds as well. Lots of people like really quickly tried to like flip out. There's also some liquidity stuck there. But I'm seeing lots of the something token. I called it a pump and dump. I'm not saying the project owners are pump and dump. I'm saying the price action itself was a pump and dump. It's at 0.16 right now. It went up to 0.8 and all the way back down in like 24 hours. So there's just a huge percentage of people that are just trying to flip things for money and not actually like hold on to things. And I think we need more.
Who are those people? Who are these damn flippers? We've got to watch out for them. There's no way it's people in our Discord.
Yeah, I mean, that's been my problem the past few days. I haven't bought a single thing, I don't think, in like 4 days. I'm in like a constant state of paralysis because I have no conviction on anything. And I basically want to do what Captain Kicks is saying. I want to basically front run the other dummies, but then I feel like I'm the dummy. So I haven't done anything. So I think this PXN, this is the first drop I think that had any hype, right? Since other deeds. It's been really kind. Everybody's been kind of sitting on their hands, not sure what to do. I bought a bunch of Matic just because I don't know, on a gut call, I just bought a bunch of Matic because I think everybody hates gas right now. Dumbest thing I've done, but Captain Case wouldn't get back to me, so I had to make a call. But no, on the PXN thing, the other thing variable you didn't mention is that they sold about 5,000 yesterday in the public sale, but now they're going to sell another 4,000 today in the private sale for the allow list at 0.35. I don't know what to do. I was like, part of me is like, how can I buy this at 2 ETH right now, even though it seems like a good deal at Mint when people are going to undercut? On the other hand, if this is going to be the next sort of big project, getting in at 2 ETH it might dip a little bit to like 1.6, but it could go back up to 3. Once all those private sales, the math is just too hard for me. So again, I'm doing nothing and wondering what else.
I'm with you, Jesse. I think like the play is that like you wait for like the whitelist minters to come in and maybe they bring it down to 1.5 and then you get in. But like I've heard from some of my sources that like the people that are on the allow list, like they're like very cultish about this. So there may not be a massive drop. I'm still overall bullish on the project just with the amount of hype that it has. So if you can get in on at a good price, I think it's not necessarily a bad investment at all. I just personally, I really hate this Dutch auction public sale first at a stupid high price. And then like everyone on the allow list gets it at like 80% off. That just seems so, for lack of a better word, like scummy to me. Like it just doesn't seem like fair at all. I really don't like the system. And guess which project like really created or like brought this system popularity? It was Pixelmon. So it's like, why are we doing this as a model? I think there's a better model out there, but still bullish on the project.
Nick, do you have something to add here?
It's unrelated, but I did just receive a DM, and this is worth noting here. So in Thai, the number 5 is pronounced ha, H-A. So when people write 5-5 to be ha-ha, and so everyone thinks that it's funny. So it's very clear to me that we're having a little bit of fun with the 55, and I like having fun when I spend $55 million on things. So that's the type of hilarity that's ensuing right now. So back to y'all.
Okay, well, another hard fact is that 2 minutes ago, or excuse me, 5 minutes ago, another five, but 5 minutes ago, there was another 115 ETH sale on an other deed for other side, again, without a coda on it. And it's actually just a bare, I'm assuming it's got to be Bored Ape like Alpha Land. Yeah, it's number 292. So it's bare, there's no resources on it. And yeah, it sold for so much money. Man, I mean, look, does anybody have any thoughts on the current state of affairs with other deed? Because it looks like we're creeping back up to 4 ETH on the floor, but all these monster sales, they have to mean something. And it looks like actually volume is at an all-time high so far today. Like today is the all-time high for secondary market volume. I guess like Node, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what's the deal? Does anybody know what the deal is with the low? I mean, it, obviously being closer to the clubhouse seems cool, but why is it, why is there such a premium being placed on that? I'm wondering if, like, why those are all the biggest sales. It seems like Benjamin's got an answer.
Yeah, the most recent rumor that's been circulating is that the closer you are to the middle, the more multiple you get for resource accumulation. I don't know if this is a fact. It's just, you know, I've seen people discussing this. I saw it started coming out yesterday. And then we also saw a bunch of those big buys of land that aren't necessarily even quotas, but low numbers. And I think people are going to start looking at them in a little bit of segmented ranges. I saw someone saying that the under 1,000 IDs are going to be, you know, the most valuable, you know, outside of like top 10, top 100, all that kind of stuff. But people are looking within these ranges to get as close as possible with some kind of speculation that if you're in BAYC land or you're in MAYC land, you get higher multiples of the resources. But the closer you get to the middle, there's also some kind of benefits. So these are all speculation. I'm not saying any of this is confirmed, but I can see how those kind of messaging would play into people trying to make early purchases on speculation.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Like Bored Ape Yacht Club and just the NFT, like successful NFT projects in general, the model is to reward the earliest supporters over and over and over again. And then that inspires new people to buy in. And so
also that's known as a pyramid scheme.
Thank you. Got it. And so as a result, you know, Mutant Ape Land, Bored Ape Land should be valued at a premium. But I think people do think that these sales at 100 plus ETH over and over again over the past 36 hours are pretty gnarly, especially since a lot of them don't have quotas. What is Bored Ape Yacht Club land near the middle that has a quota? Like, what's that valued at now? That's pretty nuts.
Probably very high. And I think PO, like what you're bringing up is significant, which is that, you know, there's been a lot of negative, you know, press around other side and other deeds. And I think a lot of it's unwarranted. Like a lot of people have been complaining like, oh, we're not getting any info from Yuga Labs. They're not telling us like what all the land means. I think people are actually complaining because they wanted like a free 2 to 3X and it's not a free 2 to 3X. So that's why they're complaining. Like, I don't think people in this space like just expect like information to pump their bags like very rapidly. But if you're actually trying to like build something meaningful, like you can't have like updates on a daily basis, like that's like the whole like hype, you know, Ponzi model, which I don't really like. So I think this is a very good sign, PO, that like whales are continuing to accumulate and they're going after like the expensive land. I think it's a pretty good sign for like other deeds in general. And the fact that Yuga Labs isn't really saying something for a while, it's probably because they're working on like an intentionally impactful, you know, release of information that could happen on 5/5 or could happen any day. But when it does happen, I'm sure it'll be pretty significant. And speaking of 5/5 PO, there's some big stuff going on today, right? There's the Azuki is doing something, right?
And then KTF. So we. Have to talk about both those things. Just on the last thing I want to say on other side, and then we'll get to those two things, is so Node had brought up the idea of other side being a big liquidity sucking event in the NFT space. And when he brought it up, I had not dismissed it, but I'd pointed out that there was a lot of anticipation about a similar event when Invisible Friends dropped, and Invisible Friends was like the most hyped up drop at the time. And I said, do we now remember the big liquidity suck from Invisible Friends? No, we don't, right? But I'm looking at Invisible Friends right now. Invisible Friends is a 5,000 piece collection that currently has a floor of 5 ETH, right? So it's not an insignificant collection. And shout out to Motion Marcus, you know, the artist behind the collection. But Other Deed is a 100,000 piece collection with almost the same floor. So you have literally 20x the supply, almost the same floor, and a ton of buys coming in at 100 plus ETH. Even if you look at Moonbirds, right? Another the liquidity sucking event after Invisible Friends, there's 10,000 Moonbirds, so 2x Invisible Friends, but still 10% of the total supply of other side land. And yeah, Moonbirds has a monster floor. It has 28.5 ETH floor, and that's cool. But I think the actual liquidity sucking event that we've all, you know, speculated could happen turned out to be other side land. And when you look at midship NFTs, the Deadfellas, Smilesverse, you know, insert name here of the world, they're having a big pullback because I think everybody's dumping liquidity into other side. And then other projects that are going up right now are like the 10 KTFs of the world. So it looks like 10 KTFs floor is 1.65 ETH. So basically everybody that's been long 10 KTF forever, all the early people, and there were plenty of early people that were obsessed with 10 KTF, basically within 30 to 45 days of 10 KTF dropping, and they've been unwavering. They've been all about 10 KTF the whole time. They deserve just a monster shout out. They had sustained conviction in the project for literally 7 or 8 months, which in the traditional investing world is absolutely nothing, but in the NFT space is like this lifetime, this ridiculous amount of time. And everything that they speculated was going to happen is basically materializing. If you look at the activity chart of 10 KTF on OpenSea, it trades flat, literally, you know, trades sideways for 6 months, and it's just on a rocket ship, you know, diagonally, you know, to the upside at this point, just up and to the right. And I mean, look, we're seeing monster sales today. If you have Bored Ape Yacht Club or Mutant Ape Yacht Club affiliated 10 KTF stuff, you're trading at a premium. I want to point out to everybody, 10 KTF stock room is experiencing similar appreciation, but not at the same clip. And every time you see stuff like this, the cheapest stuff ends up going up, and you can get into 10 KTF stock room at 0.35 ETH. I also think people are overlooking it because it's like a piece of cloth or a piece of leather and they don't quite understand it. But if 10 KTF itself goes to 5 ETH, then you're going to see appreciation in the stock room. I've been talking for a while here. Does anybody have any speculation on what the announcement of 10 KTF is going to be today?
I'd like to speculate. Okay. They're buying Yuga Labs.
Okay. Well, we know that there's some sort of affiliation between 10 KTF and Yuga Labs. The coda from Other Side is in the 10 KTF content that's come out. Guy Osiri is clearly affiliated with both. I mean, he's a co-founder of 10 KTF, but you see the affiliation with Bored Ape Yacht Club. Spencer, do you have something that you think is relevant here?
Well, I think that something that could be very interesting at the most basic level, like, is to just not overthink this, right? Like 10 KTF stock room is blanks for merch, right? And if you see the 10 KTF main project, it's basically derivatives, but also maybe physicals of people's stuff. Like, if 10 KTF and 10 KTF has already collaborated with Gucci, right? So like, they have set a precedent for them being a luxury version of the space. My guess at what's happening right now is that the partnership with Other Side, with Codas, we might be seeing super premium Coda merch or super premium Ape merch or other side merch through 10 KTF, which I'd be really excited to see because I know one critique, I mean, the Ape merch is great, but in terms of just like sheer merch quality for the price of the Apes and the rest of the ecosystem, their merchandise should be something that's a lot closer to like what we see in Hypewear, what we see with a Gucci or something else. And so I'm pretty excited because I think that there could be a potential high tier merch situation that is a collaboration. It wouldn't be the first collaboration they've done. If people remember, some of the first Ape merch was actually the Bobby Hundreds collaboration back in the day. And so I think that this is a merch play for Other Side, and I'm pretty excited. It could even tie in, like, we don't know yet what. So if you had the 10 KTF Gucci Grail, you got to reach out to, they gave you a personal shopping consultant with Gucci to help you buy whatever the Gucci drop associated with that's going to be. I'm curious to see if this is a continued partnership with Gucci or if they're going to do their own merch line. But if you look, like, Artifact was also backed by the same investors that backed Other Side, backed Yuga, backed OpenSea, right? The Andreessen. And they clearly know the value of fashion because they are, like, their other play is Artifact, which did choose to sold to Nike. So there's so many different like potential collaborators they could pull in. I'm super excited to see what this is. I think it's a merch play.
Okay. I mean, look, I hope it's bigger than that. I don't think that a merch play would be bad, but I do hope it's bigger than that. Go ahead, Nick.
I got something relevant related to merch and fashion as a whole. There's some speculation right now among CryptoPunks that we're in the midst of LVMH acquiring the IP rights to CryptoPunks from Yuga Labs. So that's something that I've been hearing. It's not clear.
Yeah, they're really getting passed around.
So the son of the owner of LVMH rocks a punk as his PFP, and used to be the like head of Remoa, the luggage company under their umbrella. But don't underestimate how big, like behind Elon Musk, Bernard Arnault, owner of LVMH, is the second richest person in the world. So don't underestimate the reach that they have.
And well, there we go. That just sounds like confirmation that the rumor is fact. And that's all that we need around here for the type of journalism, hard-hitting journalism that we hit on a daily basis on this show. But in all seriousness, I was at dinner last night, and one of the people there was discussing this information. There's a group of punks discussing how this is going down. Look, ultimately, at some point, you know, if the like, there's no way to describe some of these NFTs other than luxury goods, and so. Or I guess there is another way, which is how do you say Veblen, Captain Kicks? Veblen goods? Oh, vegan no, goods.
Vegan goods.
He calls them vegan goods. so in terms of the interesting, we have so many vegan goods out there. I definitely think that it would make sense that a luxury goods company would be involved in some way. It's actually shocking that Bored Ape Yacht Club has not taken this to another level yet. And maybe they partner with a vegan company, which is would not be, you know, out of the question here. I want to let some other people on stage as well. But that's where we're at the moment. The last thing I wanted to say is, you know, with the other deeds, it is interesting seeing all the people buy this at a high price. It's a very bullish indicator for this space. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. That said, I'm trying to figure out, like, do you get in here? Like, do you buy back in? I'm wondering that for myself. And I'm wondering how other people are thinking about this. Like, does this drop further? Right now we're seeing, for example, the price of CODAs on Mutant Land down to 25, and we're seeing the price of CODAs as low as 22, and the price of Mutant Apes are 25.7. So the question then is, like, which of these do you buy? Would you rather have a Mutant Ape, or would you go buy a Mutant or a CODA on Mutant Land? And here was one other piece of information which I do not think is actually going to happen. But someone was mentioning to me last night, and it sounded wildly speculative, but they have indicated something along these lines, that essentially the CODAs can move from plot to plot. And so the people that are buying CODAs people would be absolutely furious if they did this, but that the metadata would get updated and the CODAs would disappear from plots of land. I think
there's going to be a separate NFT. I think you'll probably have a separate NFT. Like,
can
just
you imagine
CODA.
You like buy one of these plots and you're like, oh my God,
I don't think they just randomly move around. I think you as a holder have the ability to move them around, like the artifacts and the other stuff on there. So, I mean, like, it's not like you're going to wake up one day and your CODA is just like down the street.
Yeah. Like, know, that's a ridiculous. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's the one with the black hole, so maybe the CODA will just get swept up into that black hole and just end up
ripped
on
away.
A piece of land.
Well, my guess is the CODAs serve a value in that ecosystem, and you can move them from plot to plot and potentially earn ApeCoin or something like that off the plot of land. And what you're essentially doing is sharing in the yield with the plots. And so thus, if you have a high quality plot, this is all speculation yet again. You're going to attract some of those CODAs off of the lower quality plots so that you all can partner in the upside of the yield being generated from those CODAs. This is pure speculation at this point, but I'm loving every minute of it.
Well, all I have to say about the CODAs is that there's only 10,000 CODAs. And then when you think about mutant apes, they've given so much value to mutant apes already. I do wonder what the deal is. I got to think that the CODAs, I have to think that they're better. I really do have to think that it's a CODA over a mutant. You know, right now you can swap a CODA for a mutant. It's basically a one-to-one. Or excuse me, a CODA on mutant land. Sorry, a CODA on mutant land.
Better than mutants. That's a bold statement.
I don't know. I mean, look, there's only 10,000 CODAs. And the CODA is the logo for the... So, all right, hold on. Real quick, and people get mad when we talk about other side too much. I want to talk about Azuki in a minute with Node because he's a holder and talk about the beans reveal and blah, blah, blah. But real quick, really think, you know, have a long time horizon here. And think about a scenario where, and this isn't that crazy of a scenario, where other deed from other side and other side in general by Yuga Labs, right, the company behind Bored Ape Yacht Club, is successful. So let's imagine that this is successful over the next 3 years. And it's a RuneScape type game that actually works and has good economics, right? Well, then we're pretty early right now since it just came out in the past 10 days, 15 days. And it's going to be a game that gets rolled out and played by people a couple years from now. You have the land, you have the resources, you have the artifacts, you have the CODAs. Well, my assumption is the CODAs are going to be the highest value. Then my assumption is that the second highest value is the artifacts. I think that all of these will be their own NFTs that gets separated from the land, okay? So if anybody played the games like RuneScape and MapleStory, you know, there were in-game assets that people would actually sell on eBay and stuff because these are NFTs before NFTs. Now we have that verified digital ownership that makes them permanent on the blockchain. They can be traded. They can be properly owned. They're not owned by the licensing company that makes the game. They're actually owned by the individual. That makes everything much more legitimate. So if it is a game that works and you're mining resources and things like that, then the CODAs, if they have some kind of place in this game, and the Bored Ape Yacht Club owners that were the earliest that ended up getting the most valuable land can make the most money off of their resources leasing their land or renting their land or, you know, mining resources on their land. You have to think that this stuff's going to have absolutely insane value if the game's actually a draw. So let's say there's people that get onboarded to the game in 2 years or something like that, right? Then those people will be able to make money by playing the game just like RuneScape, taking a character from level zero and leveling up the character slowly, and then their goal will be, oh, I want to buy an artifact or I want to buy a piece of floor land. Like, that's the goal that they're striving for. But the people that are early right now, we already have the land. So you have to think this stuff could have crazy value. This is assuming that this is successful, which, what a crazy idea. What a crazy idea that something by Yuga Labs will be successful in the long term. I'm just saying that's kind of the long-term way that I'm thinking about the land and thinking about other deeds.
You're pretty passionate about it. That's clear.
Well, it's not even passion. It's just think about, like, who are you going to bet on in the space? Are you going to bet that NFTs are really deeply integrated into gaming, which they naturally are? If you talk to anybody that's deep in the gaming space, they'll say that there has never been a more natural, sort of technology to plug into video games. Because think about it, you already buy Fortnite skins. People were already trading RuneScape assets on eBay, right? And also keep in mind, the NFT space is the most short-sighted space that I think I've ever participated in. It's literally a day-to-day thing. And Twitter reactions totally influence individual people's thoughts, you know?
It's almost like a space where you'd want to host a daily show sort of thing. Like, it's one of those things where I wonder, like, hey, could you do that? Could you, like, maybe monitor the day-to-day market activities of the NFT space? I don't know. Someone should definitely start one of those.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's a lot of short-sighted folks, and when the things that the short-sighted folks say don't come to fruition, like let's say someone tells you the project that you just bought is going to go down and it's hopium if you say that you're bullish on it long-term, then 6 months later, like a 10K TF, it ends up ripping to 1.6 ETH. It's not like the people that you know were hating on it and were thinking about it in a short-sighted way 6 months before. There's no accountability there. They don't come out and say, hey, I was totally wrong, and no one digs up the tweets from 6 months before. So you just have to really think about this stuff long term. And if other side does work, again, crazy idea that Yuga Labs, the company that has like $1 billion in cash and put out the most successful NFT project of all time, figures out a way to make it work over a 2 to 4 year time horizon, you have to think that having the land is going to be hella valuable. I know it's a crazy idea. Node, what's going on with your beans? This is the companion drop that everybody that owns an Azuki received. If you owned an Azuki, you received 2 beans as an airdrop. There were 3 ETH right out the gate. They pumped to like 5-6 ETH. What's the current state of affairs, and what are you thinking about your beans?
Yeah, so I finally implemented the smart rule, and I sold one of my beans last night for 6 ETH.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, I figured I had to. I almost always try and play the lottery, you know, double down and just say, hey, I'm going to win something. And I never do. So I sold one pre-reveal because that's the highest probability for, you know, a decent return. But I am really excited. We'll see what happens. They're set to reveal today, I think at like noon Pacific time or something. So I'm definitely going to hold my other one and see where it leads. I really don't know anything beyond just the reveal announcement. So excited to see what happens there. Interesting to see that Azuki has, you know, it was kind of knocking on the 30 ETH floor, and now it's down a touch. But yeah, really excited about that. And then the doodles, man, they're trying to flip Moonbirds and Azuki, which is interesting. So they've got an announcement on Friday, I believe. And from the rumors that have been kind of swirling, it does seem like there's a lot of speculation that it might be more than one announcement. So we'll see what happens there.
Wow, we're waiting for tomorrow for the doodles announcement. So would you be buying more here at a local top?
Well, no. I personally wouldn't. Always the best time after an announcement pump. That's
when I buy.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of don't understand the valuation of Azuki, in the sense that. So are they an Anon team? Like, do we know exactly who the team is? That's my first question.
Whatever you're going to say, I should probably tell Wappy to sell one of his doodles first. I want to double down on whatever you're going to say with Azuki, triple down on doodles. For a purely art project, I don't see how this sustains anywhere near 20 ETH. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 8 in 2 months.
For Azuki?
No,
he's talking about doodles.
You heard it from Jesse first. We're going right to 50.
I mean, look, so I want to hear from Wappy on some of these projects. You know, Azuki, I mean, these are the big stories right now. The big story of the NFT space is that all the value is accruing heavily to the top, and it's literally like 6 or 7 projects. The project that's becoming one of the top projects is 10KTF. That's the one that's actually like making the move, whereas a lot of projects are either pulling back and a lot of projects are just getting bigger, like a Moonbirds, Azuki, you know, Board Ape Yacht Club type of stuff. But so, Wappy, you got your doodles. What do you make of what we're talking about? What do you make of like Azuki's today, doodles, everything that's going on, other side land? What are you thinking about?
I think the Azuki thing, like to your point about like why they're up so high, I thought it was because everybody believed in the team. And I thought it was because they spent like a good time before they launched working on the project. And I thought everybody like was on board with Zagabond. So I thought that was like your bull case for Azuki. Maybe someone with Azuki can tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say real quick on the bull case for Azuki is, you know, those of us that have a taste, you know, and understand good art, that is part of the bull case. The other thing too, right? They executed extremely well, came out with the 721A ERC 721A contract on Mint, and it's just, I mean, in my opinion, it's an absolute vibe. So they have done everything right so far. In terms of building out like a lifestyle brand, like something that you know, I want to be associated with, right? I talked about this yesterday, the community aspect of it. I feel like they've got a better shot at doing some amazing collabs in terms of, you know, merch or building a mainstream brand than I would say most other projects. That's also actually why I'm bullish on Doodles, is because it has such a broad appeal that they can kind of they can appeal to so many different types of people that I do like the Doodles as well. So I own one.
Yeah, I want to call out a couple things here. So first of all, you have to put these projects into categories, and the categories are starting to emerge. So if you look at the top projects, you just brought up Doodles and you brought up Azuki. These, I would consider these pure play IP projects. And I think that's basically what you just said, Node, is that it's an IP thing, right? That's what Cool Cats, I think a lot of people think that Cool Cats should have gone that route, but they tried to go the gaming metaverse route, which is what Other Side and Yuga Labs is now doing, which is probably the biggest way to approach NFTs is gaming metaverse. That's probably the biggest, but it's also the most challenging because you're making a video game and that's incredibly difficult. But if you're talking about pure play IP, Azuki and Doodles are the two top pure play IP projects in terms of floor price. That's why I'm skeptical, because a 28 ETH floor on an Azuki for pure play IP, that's like a big expectation. If they do execute and you get the manga and the cartoon and the blah, blah, you know, all the gear, like the toys, everything, then, hey, I guess maybe it is like a proper blue chip. But when you look at Other Deed for Other Side, that's, you know, gaming slash metaverse. That's realistically going to be the biggest way to approach NFTs. You look at Moonbirds, that's like the you know, professional entrepreneurship, exclusive elite club networking play. You look at Clone X. That's the metaverse wearables play, 10KTF, same deal. You have to think that that's going to be a really, really big thing to do. And then you look at something like CryptoPunks, and that's like pure play art, historic relevance, you know, blah, blah, blah. VFriends falls into the same category as Moonbirds. I find it challenging to value pure play IP so high.
Go ahead. I was going to double down on Nenik, but you want to do the counter? Let me double down.
No, go ahead.
The counter maybe. I agree, because I agree. Obviously, the art on anime on what's it called is great. The anime play. I don't know if it's a pure anime play or a white guys who got into anime that don't even know what Cowboy Bebop is, but it's definitely good art. And then the vibes thing too. But the art and the vibes feel super 2021. I thought we were obviously moving to utility. And then the other one that seems to be developing is real IP that's already there. So Aku is going to be a show. Huxley is going to be a movie. And people seem to want, you know, even Pixel Vault, you would say at the very least, right? But they're
going the gaming route.
Well, that's gaming, but it's also, at least I think the substance is already there, right? We started with all these things like Cool Cats and dogs, and it was like, okay, this could be a cartoon. And now people are like, no. We want a real IP first that's legitimate, turn that into, monetize it with NFTs. And so that's where I don't see, and it's fine that Azuki and Doodles are better, but are they really like 20 times the value of these other things that also are just potential? That's where it feels like the way skewed, yep, or like 10 times more than other PFP projects.
Franklin is trying to come on stage, the largest Bored Ape holder right now.
I want to have him on so bad. I've invited him on stage.
No,
before.
I'm saying he's literally requesting and DMing me that he's in the audience requesting to come up.
Hey, Franklin, if you can hear us, man, Twitter rugs speakers that join late. Damn it. Nick, didn't you have a trick that worked yesterday? Do I have to unfollow Franklin and then follow him again or something? Or
maybe I'll try that out.
Give that a go, Nick. We have room on stage for Franklin. Would love to have Franklin on stage. Largest Bored Ape holder, or one of the largest Bored Ape holders. I believe he's peddling 36 apes.
He also disagrees with our
way
analysis.
Way more than 36.
He has 50 something now.
Oh,
which
shit.
Which was legitimately some of the deepest analysis that's been provided yet to date in this space. Based on all the research that we've been doing over here, oh man, this sucks.
Yeah. Yo, Franklin, sorry, man. I want to have you on stage so bad, and I want you to tell us every reason why our theories are totally wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Illuminati is trying to stop Franklin from coming on stage to undermine some of the conversation and the insight that we've been providing here, based on the deep analysis that we've been doing. I mean, this is the type of research that we're looking for, and we need, other voices. you know, like Franklin on stage, and yet here I'm not able to let him up. So, like, what's going on, Elon? Like, are you trying to suppress that? Because he's was saying one thing on one end, which is all about freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. But here I am not able to let Franklin on stage. So that's the situation that we're running into.
Okay, I just unfollowed him. I'm going to follow him again and see if that has any impact.
Well, he sent me some screenshots, which shows the history of that account. The username switched from Ellis. They were a CryptoPunk, Clone X, Mutant. This was, they also, Elon Musk.
Signal, you're a co-host. Can you see Franklin?
Let me try.
Yeah,
DT Chain. So, okay, so someone was associated with DT Chain. This person may be a troll. Deepak. Deepak.eth. So check out DT underscore chain. Seems like this may be the person. This would throw some cold water. Franklin, why did you have to send me these screenshots, man?
No, I'm glad he did. I want the cold water.
This is absolutely ridiculous. It seemed to have an affiliation with MoonPay, has been updating things, linking to MoonPay, chain.com. I'm going back through all of the screenshots Franklin, shout out to sending us these screenshots at a minimum. This is the type of research that we're doing. This is the type of internet investigation that results in the real truth. And so we're really appreciative of that. We're going to have you on the show when Twitter actually functions, though.
Yeah, we want Franklin. Oh, I want him to come on the show. Look, we got Bell on stage.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's co-owner of Embat. So we know who this is.
Okay, go ahead.
It's co-owner of Ambassador. I mean, the person doesn't speak great English, I'm going to be honest. So that's one clear thing that's been consistent through their updates. But founder of the first NFT layer, man, I'm going to have to piece together who this person is, but he's sending me all these screenshots and, we'll get to the bottom of this. So thanks for sending those over, Franklin.
Damn it. All right. Well, I wish we could have Franklin on stage right now. Twitter has bugs. That
look, to be honest though, I mean, you cut one line in all the dots, the web of insight that we've created, and does it make the whole thing false? I don't know, you know, like, because we wind those strings very tightly around the pins in the pin board. And so what happens is like, you can cut one piece of string, but the others are still tied together, you know? And so I'm not willing to completely write this off just yet. But I don't know. He's definitely cut some of those ties.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm holding out hope we can get him on stage, but we got Belle on stage with her hand raised. What's going on, Belle?
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to add about Doodles, man. Doodles is forever going to be the one that escaped me because I saw it literally go up and I just made the mistake of not getting in. But, I believe that they are setting themselves up for like the perfect moment when NFTs does become mainstream, because it's such a lovable character, such a lovable, you know, universally liked image of it. Imagine if they did like a derivative or, you know, a cartoon or merch or anything that lines up exactly in the moment that more people are coming into the NFT space. It would be a killer. It's exactly what everybody wants for, like, you know, their kids or just for themselves. So that's my two cents on that one.
Yeah, it's a pure play IP play, at least as it stands right now. It's hard to execute that, but I believe that somebody will. Go ahead, sorry.
And the other thing that I was going to add is they dominated South by Southwest. So if they continue with those IRL events at these type of conferences where we have new people just kind of, you know, trying to dip their toe into the NFT space, that's exactly what they'll see. It's one of the first images that they saw when they went to South by Southwest. And so if they continue on that trajectory, that's the type of people that they'll continue to attract.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to see who prevails, and there probably will be several winners. Again, that was like what I thought Cool Cats would be able to execute on, is just going the IP route. They tried to do something really, really hard, which is the game, and it hasn't gone as well as, you know, I think they expected it to. It also doesn't mean that they won't be able to fix that, and it also doesn't mean that they won't be able to double down on the IP thing again. Wappy, did you have something to add here?
At some point, Cool Cats are going to be a buy, and I'll tell you why. Because I run most of the projects by my girlfriend, who knows nothing about this space. And I get a vibe on where the normies are via her. And she likes Cool Cats. She likes Doodles. And, you know, even when I tell her, like, Cool Cats are shit right now, and they just had their CEO quit and blah, 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 she's like, I don't care. I still like the Cats. So at some point, those are going to be a buy. I have to think so, unless they just completely drop the ball. But didn't they hire a new gaming studio? And unless they fumble the ball on, like, hiring a new CEO, I feel like that was, like, a 15-ETH project. That was, like, number two or number three for a while. How can it, like, not try to make a comeback, you know?
Yeah, I'm not saying it'll go to zero. I mean, look, there's ups and downs with this stuff, and this is a down, and the IP's still good, like you just said. You know, like, someone that's not in the NFT space is like, I don't care. I like the IP. So if they just pop off on the IP side, all of a sudden they'll go up. If they pop off on the IP side, they could scrap the game and no one would care. You know, Nick, were you going to say something?
No, not at all.
Okay, you're unmuted. My bad.
I don't know about that, Theo, because the game is play to earn. So that's giving you cash right now.
Well, look, man, if people are making cash, then they yeah, cool cats are doing well. We got Misan on stage. What's going on?
Hey, how are you? I haven't been on here since I spoke about Chimpers. I don't know if you remember that. I think this is a group, right, Signal? Is this where I...
Yeah, this is Misan, everyone, who came on the show about a month ago and dropped TBAC Chronicles at 0.15.
Look at that. Nice call. What do you got for us today?
Well... Again, even now at 0.3, I wouldn't sleep on that at all. Drop date's coming soon. And one of the things that I really like that they've done is that their mint price is 0.7. Very few hype projects are that on greedy. So that's just a really respectful thing that they've done. But in terms of other projects, there's a creator called CFW. And it's early days, but I suggest everyone watches what he's going to drop. It's called Pillhead. And Mondog, if you know who he is, has already been sweeping the floor because they will give you whitelist for Pillheads. So if you don't know CFW, I suggest you... He's known to a lot of creators. He's done a lot of good partnerships with people like Des Lucas, Marga Habibi. Really, really good artist is going to do his generative drop. And I strongly suggest people just... follow him and look. It's probably going to happen within the next 3 weeks, so it's not that far away. But CFW is his name. He did something called Stacy Pills, which were small edition drops, and those give you a allow list for his coming generative drop. And the final thing I'll say is I know everyone is loving regulars, which I love so much as well, but I think we should all be watching the, you know, it's 2,600 individual holders. And if they can push through, kind of ignoring the floor, but if they can push through and kind of get rid of all paper hands and get near, you know, 5K individuals, I think regulars could do something quite remarkable in this space. It's got the best memes I've seen in a long, long, long time. And some of the kind of partnerships I can imagine regulars having, regardless of any roadmap with AAA brands, could be a lot of fun. So that's what I'm watching. Whether currently they've got 2,600, and that's not really, really enough. If they can push through to about 5K, it could break out. That's all for now. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing up the regulars. The regulars is absolutely hilarious. I didn't go near it with a 10-foot pole when it came out, and I was just totally burned on that because it's got a half-ETH floor. I agree with you on the unique ownership. That's the main issue, is that there's 26% unique ownership on a 10K collection. The meme factor is what I overlooked, right? What I'll say is this is an example of our Discord correctly identifying something that was good. And people in our Discord were just buying it because they thought it was funny and they were making memes. They had like assigned regulars to me and to Nick and to Kix and to Easy, and they were just having so much fun with it. So this is one of those examples in the NFT space where having a lot of fun leads to profitability, similar to MFers. You know, I wanted to do a little exercise. So regulars is at a half ETH. I was asked yesterday on another podcast what the best buy is under a half ETH. Let's just say the regulars is part of that because it's at 0.52. What I said on the show was the
Nifty portal.
The first thing I literally did say was our NFT. And I was like, look, I understand that I'm biased, but at the end of the day, like at under a half ETH, I got to, like, straight up, I got to say our NFT is straight up the best buy. But then besides that, the two
not projects, financial advice.
The two projects I brought up were the Something Token because of the investment round that they had, and the fact that Alexis Ohanian is affiliated, and I view him as one of those people from Web 2 that could really crush in Web 3. He's absolutely on that short list. And then the other thing I said was 10 KTF Stockroom. Does anybody else have a different idea besides like those projects? Like, what would you buy under a half ETH right now? Anybody? Wappy, Node, anybody? Kicks, Easy, Benjamin, anybody?
To be honest, that's not really where the market's at right now. I guess what I was going to say earlier before I said the Azuki thing and we lost track, I think we're at a point where you need more people in this space. And until we see growth in user, it's going to kind of be us just trading against each other. And I think there's not like a clear, hey, you need to buy this. It's under one ETH or half an ETH. It's the next blue chip. So that's like a little fuzzy right now. I feel like the market has gotten very good at picking out what it thinks is the next good project, and it shoots it right to two ETH because we have too many sneaker kids flipping in this space now.
Yeah, exactly. You need to be like looking for quick trades right now, more than long-term holds. That's what I'm looking at. Like, I'm definitely not adding any sorts of bags, whatsoever. I still think like the Oddstronauts, you could have made some money like minting and flipping those. Like, there's still opportunities to like get quick flips in, but like the markets are definitely a little bit shaky right now.
I guess Endgame, Endgame came out yesterday and said they're delaying things by like a few weeks. I guess, you know, that's a Beanie project. So if you hate Beanie, stay the fuck away from this. But if you believe in Ponzi-nomic pumps, like, this maybe has like a chance to do something at the end of the month. But again, like, if you hate Beanie,
Ponzi's only work in bulls though, Wappy, would you agree?
I sold all of my Look Lab stuff yesterday after that delay, just because I was I've been looking to reduce NFT exposure, and I don't want to make the mistake of selling my really, really good stuff. Because what happens in this space is you buy a bunch of bullshit that goes down, and then you sell your really good stuff to make up for those losses. And then the really good stuff just keeps on going because value accrues to the top. Signal, do you have any thoughts on this? And then I'll throw to Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there are still plenty of opportunities out there under one ETH. It has got harder since last year, but it's also about, you know, I think many people on this stage aren't looking for those opportunities, like actively looking for those opportunities. So it's not on the radar. But I would say for people, if they put in the work, they are definitely there. And one example is under half an ETH. Well, it's at 0.58, so kind of there. But for example, DGens Regen, so that is the project from OSF, in about 3 to 4 weeks, they're going to be dropping their PFP collection. I imagine there's going to be either some kind of snapshot or some kind of, he's already said this, you have to hold one of their tokens in order to be able to mint the PFP. And I believe there's going to be upside there. So yes, the market has changed. You do have to work harder, but the opportunities are there for people who want it.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. Ben, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do. I definitely agree with people's thoughts that, you know, right now isn't really a time that you're looking to buy and flip, especially projects that have been around. But I do have three projects that I can name that I've been in for a long time that I'm bullish on, and I know the owners. So like they're all docs and stuff. So.
Is one of them in different ducks?
No, it's not. That's a little lower on my radar. But I would say, so all three of these at one point have seen their limelight, got their 15 minutes of fame. But here's three under 0.5 that I like. And this is not like pumping bags or anything. These are just projects I've been in for a long time. You could check the chain, and this is ones that I expect to be in for a while. The first is Robotos. The floor of this at one point was over one ETH. They have the Robo Pets that got up to, I think, 0.3 ETH at one point. I like the ecosystem. Pablo Stanley's like a mad scientist with art, and he's always looking to do new things. And they have a partnership with Time to do an animated series. The floor of that is 0.368 right now. The second would be Knights of Degen. This is a project run by a bunch of friends of mine.
I know they have huge plans in store. They're trying to be like a Web3 big media company. They already have a bunch of stuff going with sports. They have their own team in the FCF, Fan Control Football League, and I think they also have done other sports leagues. So that floor is at 0.25. And then the third one, this one, I don't know a lot about what their plans are. I just know that they have a ton of real world contacts. I've hung out with the owners. I know that they are capable of doing really cool things. And the floor of this has also gone over one ETH at one point. This is the Heart Project. So this is run by Aiden Cohen and Deej, and they helped throw a party with Doodles in Miami last year. So if you were at the Art Basel Doodles party, the Hearts co-hosted that party and actually were the ones DJing. And so they have a ton of real life connections. I like the project. I like the people who run it, and the floor is 0.11. So if you look, each of these has a good amount of volume over time. They've all had their day. And I think that if you're looking to, you know, kind of place longer term bets on doxed projects with people that I know are definitely building, these are three that, you know, not financial advice, but these are three that I personally enjoy being in.
I didn't realize Heart Project was so low. Yeah, that's, I think that's interesting at 0.1. Jesse?
Yeah, you gave this exercise like a month ago. I think I told you I wrote a whole list down, and there were some Knights of Degen was on my list then, and Hearts also. But there's a couple winners there, Crocolypse and a few others. There's a couple losers also. But yeah, I would look at, I like both those. Shinsei Galverse, Shonen Junk, Frenzies, Hugs, which is Randy Zuckerberg's. Those are all not under, only under 0.5. They're close to 0.1. So if you want to take a flyer on four or five of something and hope it goes up. If BFF bracelets goes down to 0.5, that's a definite buy. And then I got a wild card. We're coming up against time. I'll talk about more tomorrow. It's .earth, or you can look it up. It's Earth Postcard. It's kind of like trying to be the new, it's building off of ENS to be like the new platform for identity. 500 total thin floor. You can look that up. I'll talk about it more tomorrow since we got three.
And there's one we should be talking about. It's the regulars, right? Yeah. The regulars are at a half ETH floor, man. In NFTs, you should never underestimate
the meme
potential of a project. Exactly.
One more thing about regulars is that I did a video that it's gone pretty viral now, talking about the other thing that makes regulars special, which is the emotional aspect. Just, you know, a lot of people have taken the idea of regulars as the opposite of this, I can walk on water, I have all the answers, influencer culture that we've been running away from the Instagram age. And I think that's also something that's just really, really could become a movement. Let's just watch if it can get to 5K individual holders. Really interesting.
I feel like it's at a local top for the time being. At least that's my take on it. But I don't know. Maybe I'll buy back in at some point. Maybe it breaks out. Maybe some influencer hops in and suddenly says this is the next big thing. But for now, that's kind of it's hovering at that price. Pio, seems like we're at the end.
I know. I literally didn't even see that we're over time. What a great show that lost track of time. I think I got excited that Franklin was going to come up. And then, of course, Twitter wouldn't let us have him up, but he said that he's going to be on tomorrow. Look, I want to hear from Note. I want to hear from Bell, but we're at time. And if I don't end this show, I just won't be
able to. Yeah, so screw y'all.
Yeah, I just won't be able to do anything today. Look, this show is sponsored by FTX. We had Amy from FTX on yesterday. Sign up at the nifty.com/FTX or on the mobile phone with the code THENIFTY. And we're actually giving away two more NFTs through FTX. So we gave away the Littles NFT. That was the lowest value. And then we're giving away Creature World and Capsule House. So definitely keep an eye out for that. That's happening. Nick, was there something you wanted to add?
No, it sounds like they're saying that you got to sign up with our affiliate link in order to win. I mean, if you already have FTX, I don't think that's going to disqualify you. If you're in New York, I'm gonna root for you and say you can still win because we got to push them to get through this New York City bullshit. But other than that, I got nothing else to say.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, look, if you're in New York, we'll like give you a portal or something if you do end up winning. But yeah, hope everybody enjoyed the show. I'll give you-